Please be seated. I am happy to be here. I was really appreciative of Father Patrick for asking me to come preach here today. And then I looked at my calendar and realized that I would be preaching on the Sunday after convention and the Sunday after the election. So I don't know if that was a favor Patrick was doing me or not, or maybe I'm doing a favor for him. But I'll happily tell you, I will not be talking about either event during this sermon as much as possible. I am an associate priest at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Prosper, but I'm a weird kind of associate priest because I've been charged by God and our bishop to plant a church in Salina, Texas, which is, as Patrick said, kind of the end of the tollway. If you head up the tollway, keep going. If you see a large casino, you have gone too far and you need to turn around. We're just before that. Salina is the fastest growing city in the United States. The whole metroplex is exploding and moving north, and so we are in Salina planting a church. I get asked quite a bit, why are you planting a church? And before you can ask me as well, I'm going to answer that question in today's sermon. Just kind of pre-answer that before coffee hour. Why am I planting a church? It might seem odd to Episcopalians to plant a church. It seems very weird to do something like a church plant in like a middle school gym wearing all this. And that might be what we end up having to do. And that might seem odd to a lot of us. We're used to pretty buildings and high liturgy, and meeting in a library or something like that doesn't sound very Episcopalian. However, we don't plant churches because of the building. We plant churches because we need to plant churches. We plant churches because of what we read today in our psalm. I'm going to focus most of the time in my sermon today on our psalm reading, Psalm 146. Mainly because I don't want to have to deal with the wearing long robes and sitting in nice seats part of Mark as I wear a long robe and sit in a nice seat. It's very convicting to me in that sense. The church is a community surrounding a message. That's what we are. The church is the community of a message. We are stewards of a message. We are holders of that message, and we carry it with us forward, and that message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are stewards of that message, and we have been for 2,000 years because the world was desperate for it 2,000 years ago and has only grown more desperate for that message. We still need to steward and share that message with others. The gospel goes to new places within the church. It always has, and it always will. The church is where the gospel is found every Sunday because it's the only place we find hope. We don't find hope in the rulers of this world because they are going to die, is what our psalm tells us today. We don't find hope in the rulers of this world because one day they will die. I've been listening to this like history podcast about 1968 because it's what I do. In my spare time, I listen to history podcasts. In 1968, there was the assassination of Dr. King, followed like weeks later with the assassination of RFK. And the fascinating thing that this podcast keeps talking about is the blow to the collective hope in the United States in that year. It just seemed like the country kept taking hits because our hope was found in charismatic leaders. We put all our hope in them, and then we realized that they would eventually die in tragic and unforeseen ways. The one person we can put our hope in that will not pass away is God, is Jesus. And as we stand here today, we still need to tell people that that is where our hope is found. Where is Jesus? Our Hebrews reading today makes it plain. Jesus is currently in the presence of God in heaven, interceding on our behalf. Hebrews says that Jesus longs to intercede for you. In my darkest hours, in the hours in which I doubt the most, in the hours in which I am at my worst, Jesus Christ is in the presence of God, talking to God about me. That's the message we need to tell people, that there is someone always talking about you and praying on your behalf because he loves you. Because the message of the gospel is that God longs to be united with you and will do anything to make that happen. We plant churches because of who Jesus is. We plant churches because of what God is doing. So God, who keeps his promises forever, gives justice to those who are oppressed, food to those who hunger, setting prisoners free, opening the eyes of the blind, lifting up those who are bowed down, loving the righteous, caring for the strangers, sustaining the orphan and the widow. Because of what God is doing, we plant more churches. That's our psalm reading for the day. God is doing those things. It's not a psalm that we say or sing about something God used to do. We're not really happy about the things that God did in the past. We are proclaiming the message of the God who is doing those things that is currently happening and will continue to happen forever. This is a psalm. Psalm 146 is a psalm that would have been sung on the way to the temple. It is also comes towards the end of the Psalter for a reason. It's almost as if the writers and the arrangers of the Psalms decided to put the last five Psalms together to all say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The last five Psalms all start with hallelujah for a reason, as if the end of our life, the end of human life, the goal of human life is to worship God. Is at the end of the day to be able to say hallelujah. It's the only time that word appears in the entire Bible is in the Psalter, and it appears over and over again in the last few Psalms. Hallelujah. God is to be praised. God is to be praised for the mighty things he has done and is doing. We are worshiping creatures, human beings. Whether you know it or not, you have something that you worship. Everyone you've ever met is worshiping something. Everyone you ever will meet is worshiping something. And the things we worship change us. The things we worship arrange our lives, and we rearrange our lives around those things that we worship. The church is the place where we arrange our lives around the worship of the one thing worthy of worship. The church is the place where we all come and face the same direction and worship the one thing we should have been worshiping all along. And so we plant churches to give people space, to give people place to worship the thing they should worship. We all have had that friend who gets a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and all of a sudden they become a different person. If you remember back when you were in high school, that is a thing that happened all the time. All of a sudden, like, wait, what happened? Why did you start talking like that? You changed your voice. Because the things that we love change us. We plant churches to introduce people to the thing they should love, because it will change them for the better. It will make their lives better in this life and in the age to come. God is setting things right in your life and in this world. And because of that, we need to plant churches to show people. Also, the sign of the Spirit is movement. The Holy Spirit's a bit fidgety. He doesn't sit still. He is constantly on the move. We learn through Scripture that our God is a consuming fire. Fire spreads. It has to. You can't have a little bush burning on its own without the miraculous. It will spread and grow and blaze. And the Holy Spirit does just that. Our diocese, the Diocese of Dallas, as you are a part of, has always known this. I go to St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Prosper. That sentence, I go to St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Prosper, Texas, is the wildest dream of people who met in a living room and prayed and hoped and desired for God to put a church in Prosper, Texas. And some of those people came from a church called St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Frisco. And that church is the wildest dream of people who sat in a living room and prayed and hoped and longed for God to establish his church in Frisco. Some of those people came from Christ Church in Plano. And that church is the wildest dream of people who sat in a living room and prayed and hoped that God would establish his church in Plano. And some of those folks came from the Episcopal Church of the Epiphany in Richardson. You can see where this is going. That church was the wildest dream of people who sat and prayed and longed for God to establish his church in Richardson. Many of them came from the Church of the Incarnation in Dallas, which was started in the 1870s by a church planter named Charles Garrett, the first bishop of Dallas. The DNA of this diocese is to plant churches. The DNA of this diocese is, as the church grows, it expands. As Dallas keeps moving northward, there is an Episcopal church there to meet them. There is a place for them to go and worship. And the church in Salina will be the wildest dreams of those of us who are praying for it and longing for it and hoping that God would establish his church there. We plant in Salina because, like I mentioned, just from a nuts and bolts perspective, it's the largest city, it's the fastest growing city in the United States. There are currently 30,000 some odd people in Salina. The estimates are by 2030, there will be 130,000 people in Salina. There are 900 kids moving into the school district every single year in Salina. There are families who are hurting moving to Salina. There are kids who need to be baptized moving to Salina. There are people whose lives are a mess and who need to have their lives reordered around the worship of the triune God, and they are moving to Salina. There are people who are blind that need to be given sight moving to Salina. There are the poor and oppressed. There are the strangers that need to be welcomed. There are all of the people mentioned in our psalm today moving to Salina, and God is going to meet them there. So we beg for your prayers for that. I beg for your prayers because I want to see God move in a mighty way in that place. And also because I'm not a fool. I don't think that I'm doing it. If I go work really, really hard and don't pray and don't beseech God, it will not happen. If you look at our psalm today, in most of the sentences in our psalm, God is the subject of the sentence. It is the Lord who does these things. We need to not be foolish about it and think that it's us doing it. God is the subject of the sentence. Who is planting this church in Salina? The Lord is going to do it. If I think I'm doing it, it will not work out. It will not work out. I cannot do it by myself, but I also really, really can't do it without God's help. Finally, when there are kids baptized in Salina, they will be baptized because of the prayers of the people in this room. I firmly believe that people in this room can pray and intercede on behalf of those kids, on behalf of those families, on behalf of those strangers who are moving to town from other countries, other places, that we can welcome them. Because of what you've got written on the wall over here, I didn't realize that was here till I walked in, but this is the mission statement of the church. Like, it might not be on every church's website, but this is it. Like, if we're not doing that, then we're not really a church, because we were told by our Lord to go and make disciples, to baptize them, and then finally to teach them everything that Jesus has commanded them. Friends, we plant churches because of that. That's why. And thank you to you for being part of this diocese. Thank you to the St. Nick's for your prayers and your support. May we all come back in a couple of years and talk about the success of what God has done. Amen.